In the studio now, I have a teacher, Geraldine Finley from Clear Adult Education Centre in Kilbarrick, and also I have Liz, Margaret and Deirdre. I hope I have all the names right there, have we, girls?
Yes.
Okay, I'll start with you, Geraldine. I mean, you've been working how long down in Clear?
I've been in Clear about over 20 years, doing a lot of different courses, but in the main I taught Junior and Leaving Cert English for mature students who would come back and do one subject at a time. And when I say mature students, it can range from sort of mid-20s up to the oldest I had was 82, who sat her Leaving Cert some time ago. People choose to come back. It's not people looking for credits for jobs or to get into another course. In that sense, it's education in a true sense of people choosing to do something for themselves. These students will speak for themselves. A lot of people come through a literacy program where maybe they do a one-to-one or a group class, maybe about spelling, and then we persuade, cajole them into trying an exam.
Okay. Now, to get them into the exam, but first of all, when they come in, how do you approach them and sort of, I mean, everyone is different, of course, as well. And I notice we have four women here, are there men down there as well?
We have some men, but I have to admit the majority would be female.
Yeah.
Mainly because we're part-time courses during the day. There's one evening, a Thursday, where men come. But depending on the employment situation and so on as to who would come.
Yeah.
But it'd be my class was mainly female.
I sort of have a hidden reason for asking that question because watching, I don't know if any of you ladies watched the wonderful programme on RTE Tuesday and Wednesday. It was absolutely terrific. No Country for Women. And I was wondering, is that the reason why? At the time when you had all these barriers to women getting education and also getting work and having to leave work when you got married. It's a different subject, I know, but I just thought that was the reason behind that question.
Just interrupt you. I mean, I know Margaret here will talk about leaving school at 12 and going to work, as a lot of people did.
Okay.
Economic necessity for girls.
Yes, yeah. Okay. So, Anya said, your approach to ladies or gents when they come in, how do you differentiate between the different levels, if you understand what I mean?
Well, some people self-select. They might say, well, I want to look at my spelling, or I've always felt a bit nervous about reading out loud or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We have a brilliant literacy organiser, Rose Brownan, who's been there for a bit longer than me. And she sort of has a chat and sees what people want. Some people might come in to do computers and then say, oh, well, maybe I'd like to do spelling as well. Or someone might come and do a hobby class and then see what else is going on. It's all part-time courses. And it's... I think once you're there, it's hard to leave. So people go from one group to another because it's such a sociable.
I suppose we look upon it like the same as teenagers. Like it's like a career officer in a school. I mean, people come in with one reason and then they realise, hold on, I want to do something else. And that's why you were talking about a bit of cajoling there.
Exactly.
And getting them into it.
Yeah. And I know the ladies here will talk about being persuaded to a degree, but you have to want to do it as well.
Yes, yeah. Well, that's for me. And they sometimes find it late and talented because I'm just reading through some of a list of the things here. And no matter what they've learned and no matter what exams they've passed, I mean, to me, no matter how educated you are, and all that sort of carry on, how academic you may be or whatever. I mean, to me, looking there, reading a story aloud in front of a group, which I watched them do at the presentation to the awards, that must be the most terrifying thing for... it is for everybody.
Ask everybody.
That's an achievement
here.
In itself.
Reading out loud is so difficult.
Yeah.
And reading in front of your peers, I mean, doing homework with me, we would read out the homework in class, and that's not easy.
Hmm.
But we get used to it. And also there's a huge level of trust, I think, within a class. You know, what happens within a class stays within a class and all of that. So there's a huge element of confidentiality and we mind each other.
Yeah. And I think as well, when you ask, the reason I'm saying that is when you ask people like the biggest phobia, they'll say spiders and snakes and all like that. But really, it's talking in front of people.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Margaret, we were talking there about, you left school at 12.
12.
Okay, give us the back of that.
Well, I left school in 1963 at 12. And in those days, you would have... Well, I was going to go to secondary. Well, I did actually go to secondary for a few weeks, but I just didn't fit in. I didn't like it at all.
No truant officer after you, though?
No,
okay.
Because... And actually, I had parents that were very liberal. Okay. If you, well, one was, the other wasn't really.
Yeah.
But my father had said at the time, well, I was really upset. I couldn't settle in the secondary school. And at that time, I would have had a part-time job on a Saturday, which a lot of people in the 50s, 60s would have had a part-time job mm-hmm. for a couple of hours on a Saturday. So my father then said to my mother, well, if she can't stay there, she has two options. Either she goes out to work full-time if she gets a job, or else she'll have to stay there. So eventually I went for the job. My father told me that you'll work very hard for very little pay, and you have the choice now. You can go on and do education, which was private in those days, actually. Like, you had to get a scholarship to go to secondary school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I opted for the work.
How did you feel about it at the time? I mean, you were given the choice, but I mean, were you not happy in school?
Not really, no.
Okay.
Because in those days, I don't think if you were very good in school, you were up the top of the class. If you were mediocre, you were in the middle. And if you weren't good, you were down the back.
Okay.
And so school was completely different in, for me, and anyway, in those days. There wasn't a lot of encouragement.
How many would be in the class at that time?
Oh gosh, probably, I can't remember, 20-something children.
Okay, so you know, some things don't change. Go ahead.
Some things don't change.
Yeah.
But, so, my sister had been working in another type of job because she went on to secondary, and eventually I got a job in her place where she worked, mm-hmm. which was in the betting business, because I was always very good at maths. And I loved where I worked, and I worked right up there for 19 years till they closed down. And then at that stage, I went to another betting company. And then I had my, I was married, like by then, mm-hmm. I had my first child, and then I gave up work completely.
Okay.
But I never regretted the decision I made because I loved my job mm-hmm. and I was very, you know, I had a responsibility for cash, money. It was a good job.
Mm-hmm.
But at the back of my mind, I always thought to myself, especially when I had my own children, I should have went on. I made a mistake. I should have stayed where I was. And so things went on, life went
on. So were you more pressing towards your children to stay in education than?
Oh yeah, well it was. Okay. It came in like in the 70s, yeah. the 80s, the 70s, like children would have had, the first thing I noticed when my children started school was that it was a happy environment. Like there was no teachers, they could relate to the teachers, teachers to parents. I didn't really see that when I was in school. In those days, like you were slapped, you were
corporal punishment,
wrong,
yeah, which
all
were
that.
Gone, yeah, yeah.
And so they seemed to be very happy in school, and now actually, when I see my grandchildren in school, it's completely different. They're on a one-to-one with the teacher,
mm.
and so skipping on then through life. Then one of my friends suggested about Clare, that said to me, she goes for different things, history and different things. She says, why don't you come down to Clare? And I said, well, what would I do there now? You know, I loved history, but look, she said there's different things. Talk to Rose. So Rose, when I told Rose my story, I said I was never really good at spellings, and I didn't know really how to use computers. So mm-hmm. she said to me, would you like to do a spelling in computer class? So I did. I was nervous going into Clare, I have to say. But from the very first day I walked in, everybody was very nice.
And how did you decide what you wanted to do when you got into Clare?
Well, I talked to Rose.
You said you were good at maths. What did you hate when you were in school? What subjects did you hate?
I can't.
Or not hate, but
no,
I mean,
no,
that you weren't fond of.
I was fond of all my subjects. Like, I mean, I went to the
Gaeltacht when
I was in
school. Atmosphere.
It was the atmosphere,
okay.
I think, of the school.
So what did you decide when you got down to Clare and the wide range of subjects that you could select down there? What did you decide on?
I decided on the spelling because I always loved English, but I had, my spellings weren't great, so I said I'll go with the spellings. And I met the teacher, Lorien, who was absolutely lovely. She just, from the word go,
mm-hmm.
and also the computer teacher, Siobhan, both of those worked for me because I was doing this two subjects at the one time.
Okay.
So after 2 years then, Lorien said to me, Margaret, would you not go on and try for a state exam, like, you know, the junior cert? And I said, me? Sure, I left school at 12. I couldn't do anything like that. So she introduced me to Geraldine, and I had a chat with Geraldine. And Geraldine then tells me that, no, it's not the junior cert, it's the leaving cert.
Okay.
So she said to me, look, just come into the class, and there's no pressure. If you don't want to stay, give it a try. At any stage, you can walk out the door.
Okay.
So that was why I went in the September into the Leaving Cert, okay. And I was nervous.
And did your kids help you with your homework?
No. No, they didn't. But okay. I was fitting in with family, minding grandchildren. That was the big problem for me for homework. But from the day I walked in and the other girls here in the class, we all seemed to just gel. It was great atmosphere. And Geraldine, from the word go, I have to say, I never experienced encouragement like Geraldine.
I'm not paying her for this at all.
No, she's okay. Not paying me. No, don't get me wrong.
I'll jump on to Liz. What was your experience now?
Well, mine would have been something similar. I left school very young and my spelling's dreadful. And it stopped me, I think, all through my life, you know, for jobs or whatever. So so when I went back, I went into Geraldine then for a junior cert. And I loved it. And that's it. I haven't looked back from the time I went in.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you find in the course of your life any that it held you back in any way? I mean, you said about getting jobs and stuff like that.
Yeah,
because... What are the ways? I mean...
Say letters, school, teachers, all the way through.
Okay.
You would be second-guessing yourself.
So it suppressed confidence and all
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, in every way you would be. So, yeah, so this would have been a major thing for me to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you're all writing, which we're going to talk about in a minute. I'll jump over to you, Deirdre. What's your story, as they say? How did you come into it?
Okay. I left school at 14. I hated every day. Thought I'd never get out. I'd be in school looking out the window. I wouldn't be interested at all. I loved English, though.
Was it the atmosphere in school, or you just weren't interested?
I'd say it was probably me. I wasn't interested. I just wanted to be outside. I'm still the same. But so I left school at 14 and I went to work in Power Supermarket in Raheny for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then I left there and I went to Mars Supermarket in Talbot Street for 2 years. And my friend said, why don't we get a job in Cadbury's? The money is great and we'll be off every weekend. So I went up for an interview and she got Cadbury's and they sent me over to Chivers. So I was there for 35 years until I was made redundant. And from there,
it's just up the road here. It's just at the end of the
yeah, it's gone
here.
Now.
Like it's gone years.
10 years, 11 years
this year. It's up for sale now, the land, yeah.
So from there, it was great being off. I was shopping, having my hair done. So then I went up to Foss and I'd done about 6 Foss courses. And then I had some time off and then... one day I went up to Clare and I was frightened going in the door and I went over to reception and the girl said, take a leaflet and have a cup of tea and best of luck.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that and then she introduced me to Rose and I went in and had a meeting with Rose and she made me very welcome and said, we're delighted to have you. God, nobody ever said that before. So then she introduced me to Geraldine and said that Geraldine would be teaching me. So I had chosen to do my junior cert. So I did that and it was great. I loved it. I love English.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great experience. So then I went on to do my leaving cert, which was a lot harder. And... Geraldine was great. She was very encouraging, mm-hmm. and we had fun learning too.
Okay. And in the course of all of you, anyone can jump in and answer this, and getting jobs, all of you have worked through your lives. What sort of did you feel like the lack of education, maybe, if we use that phrase, was an impediment? I mean, I don't know how stringent they are with form fillings. They were then as they are now, you know, CVs and all like that. So how much of an impediment was it to getting work?
Getting work was easy, but if you were if there was an aptitude test and work, I wouldn't go. That would be it. Even though I know I'd be well able for the job, but it'd stop. It would finish me anyway.
Okay.
Mm.
And if any of you would sort of maybe see an opportunity to advance in the job, would that impair you from sort of, oh, I could do supervisor, or I could do this, or I could do that? You'd say, oh, no, I'm not educated. Did you ever feel like that?
Never.
No, not really, because I became a shop manager for where I worked. And, I mean, I was dealing with an awful lot of, it was a betting shop, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I was dealing with an awful lot of cash and responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
it never held me back leaving school. But for me, there was always just that thing when I saw my own children doing junior, leaving cert, that type of thing. And I always type of said, I would have liked to learn more. Like, I never knew what poetry was.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it was just a rhyme when I'd hear my children. Till I came to Clare, till Geraldine introduced me to poetry. And now I absolutely love poetry.
Yeah.
I love it.
Okay.
You know, so I'm hoping to go on to another class, maybe in Clare now.
And another thing that people talk about as well, that, I mean, I've talked to people with literacy problems over the years, that they would be able to disguise their lack of education in some ways. Did any of you have to do that?
Well, I would disguise my lack of spelling.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Really.
Now, how would you do that?
It was type of the job. It's very hard to explain because nowadays it's all done by computers. Everything was done by hand then.
Yes, yeah.
So you'd be handed a sheet, just say, of horses.
Well, I was talking to one person once, say for instance, in a bar, and if someone was ordering drinks, they'd just put BDY and they'd brandy. And
yes.
The barman would know what she was talking about, but she wouldn't know how to spell the full brandy or cognac,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
COD. Mm-hmm. This sort of thing, did you have to do anything like that?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the kids are doing it these days.
Of course,
days, texting,
yeah, with texting. Mm. But I would do it like, just say a name, you'd have a sheet of names of horses,
mm-hmm,
and maybe I'd have to write out something. And like that, I'd write part of the name. I'd have a spelling wrong, maybe an A or a B or a D, but it didn't matter because you could make out the name, you know.
Yes, yeah.
But my spelling was just, for me, it was just a handy. I think it goes back actually to my early days in school, because when you got your test, if you didn't get your every spelling you got wrong,
yeah,
you got a slap.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that put the shutters on for me, for that type of
thing. You all seem to feel the same way, that it was the method of the school, within the school, the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, that sort of interfered with the way you felt and the way you changed and just left and that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the atmosphere was, with children at the time, was get a job and get out there and make a life for yourself. And education was sort of a little bit that was put on the back burner,
yeah,
in a lot of working class areas as well, because it had to be.
We
economics
would have had,
was the
we key. Would have had big overcrowding. There would have been about 47, 48 with one teacher when I went to school.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have been overcrowding. And if the teacher didn't get you, she didn't get you, you would be left behind. And if you'd no way of getting back. You'd no way of getting back up. So that's when you start resenting school, because your test isn't going to come. There's nothing going to come. So when we went back here, it was unbelievable.
Completely.
Okay.
Completely enjoyable experience. Everything.
Everything.
I loved every part of it.
Like a duck to water, as they say.
Yeah, yeah.
Was there anything in it that you were uncomfortable with? The integration, mixing with people? I mean, you've walked all your lives anyway, girls, so I'm sure you've mixed with people.
Yeah.
But was there anything in sort of... When you walk into Clare, did you feel that you're saying to yourself, okay, I have a literacy problem?
Yeah.
Did that
but I think you're admitting it then. You know, I would have been admitting.
But how hard was it for that to cross that threshold?
Yeah, that would have been big. But I don't regret for a minute coming back in.
Okay, and yourself as well?
Well, I would have felt very nervous because there's, you know, I was going into the literacy courses where... There's other courses, a lot of courses in Clare that people would be just going to, you know, but I was going to literacy for spellings.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'd never went to anything like that. So when I was introduced to Rose was lovely, and she said to me, like, you will like it, like, when you come in. When I went in September then, when I walked into the classroom, it was just, I didn't know what to expect.
Okay.
Because, like, going back to school at my age... And then there was someone one-to-one, there was a group of people, but from the word go, everybody, it didn't matter what class you were in, everybody seemed to be
brilliant.
Brilliant.
What about you, Deirdre? How did you feel?
I was very nervous going in, and all I thought, I hope I don't meet anybody I know in the class.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
I was hoping, especially from work,
mm-hmm,
because I wanted to do this for me and to meet new people. But I was nervous, but once I started the course, the junior cert, I loved it. It was the dreaded homework that used to get me. I could go in every
day. So you were a kid again.
Yes, exactly.
To actually sit down, because I love being out, to sit down and apply myself. I found that hard, but I did it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there any of you went back and maybe had to took a bit of courage to, or it took a bit of time to build up the courage that you, or did you all just walk in for, oh, you heard about it, I'm going to do this, and they just did it? Is there any reluctance? Did you have to sort of go up twice maybe or three times?
Yeah, when I was doing something else, and I said, okay, this is it. I have to face this. And when I did go in, I remember the first day, like Margaret, I'm in the literacy course, and the girl wasn't Lorraine. It was another girl. She was lovely, and there was two men, three women. We were sitting around the table. And anyway, she said, I'm going to read, and I'm going to get you to read a paragraph and a paragraph. And I looked straight at her. I said, I won't be reading. I won't be reading out loud. So she said to me, you won't have to do anything you don't want to. So it came to the first lad, and he was quite bad.
Yeah.
And it came to the next lad, and he was prompting the first lad, you know. Then it came to the next lad. And by the time it came to me, I said to myself, well, listen, get over yourself now. You know, if they can sit here and do it, you can do it. So okay. It was my first...
I suppose it's a sense to settle down then. Yeah, I suppose it's a sense as well that you're not on your own.
Yes.
Can I ask you now something that, I mean, you said you admitted to yourself. So how... So what sort of reaction did you get at home? Was it something that you had to open up about at home, for instance? Like when you have the family, you're admitting to them also that you have a literacy problem. Mm. Or did they know already? Do you know what I mean? A lot of people hide it from the families as well.
Yeah, well, you would have hid for years.
Because the reason I'm asking that question is that you go and you say, well, I'm going to Clare. Why are you going there? So did you have any sort of reactions like that?
No, my girls thought it was fantastic that I was doing it. I was starting to do something other than work, because like that, again, I've worked all my life, so they thought, okay, that's great. And when they heard I was doing the junior cert,
so you didn't have to go into details.
Didn't have to, okay. No, and they would have known then. I would have been talking much more. Mm-hmm. I have a young girl dyslexic, mm-hmm. so I would have known, you know, probably this were my spellings thing. And I have a little fella autistic who's reading this year, so mm-hmm. there's a lot of openness. There'd be nothing hidden, you know, in the house. So. But encouragement, they would have encouraged me all the way.
And yourself, Deirdre?
Yeah, no, I'd be the same. My family would have...
Sorry, you're Margaret.
Oh, Margaret, sorry.
Margaret, yeah.
Yeah, my family would have, when I said I was going to Clare that September, and my husband and the children, they're all grown up adults now, but they would have said to me, well, what are you doing there? And I said, well, I'm going to go to learn computers.
As well as the difficulty with facing up to things yourself, this is what I was talking about.
Yeah.
And Deirdre was saying, like, I hope I don't meet anyone, but you have that first obstruction that you have to cross, which is your family. So this is what you were doing.
Exactly. No, they thought it was great that I was going back. This is great, ma'am. And my husband the same. Like, you're great to be going back to education now at your age. Like, you don't have to. It's not like we're going for a job, or you're going, you know, you're just going for you to learn, to go back to learn. And then when I said I was doing my leaving cert, they were saying, you're doing your leaving cert. And I said, yeah. And here they were, God, you're great.
We're nearly divorced now on your leaving cert.
Okay. What about you, Deirdre? Like, you were talking earlier on about it, you said to yourself you wouldn't want to meet anyone there. Did you have any reservations about coming out to your family, as they say?
No, not at all. They were very encouraging and they were delighted for me, and I was very proud of myself to think, gosh, I can't believe I did that. You know, I went up, looked at the leaflet, looked at all the courses, and junior cert just jumped out at me. So that's how I started.
Great. Okay, well, I'll ask you all then, for instance, did you discover, I'll start with you first, did you discover anything about yourself that you didn't know, for instance? Like, I mean, you're busy with life, you're rearing children, and you've had work and still work, or whatever your life is. So, did you discover that about yourself?
Well, I did. I discovered that I want to be here, where in school I didn't want to be there, I just wanted to be out, but it was only twice a week. And I looked forward to going in and learning new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like even like poetry. I never liked poetry, but like Paul Durkin and Philip Larkin and, you know, all those, John Montagu. Mm-hmm. I learned an awful lot about them.
Mm-hmm.
They would be my three favourite poets.
Okay, so you're reading books you wouldn't have read before and stuff like that. So you have a great love of poetry now. Probably music as well in there with some of the lyrics that you'll be listening to now more intently.
Mm. Yeah. Yes.
Might shock you a little bit, but there you go.
Yeah.
And Margaret, did you learn anything about yourself?
I did, because I'm a person that type of lives a lot in the past. I love talking about my childhood in the 50s. I lived in the city centre, just off O'Connell Street.
Mm-hmm.
And I I love talking about my childhood playing on the street to my own children and my grandchildren. So I had written a little few stories when I was in the spelling class. But when I started doing the Leaving Cert course, I found I was able to write about things, like different topics came up. And I loved that I was able to write my memories on the page. You know, it was like writing something that's in my mind, but it came out. And also, like Deirdre, poetry. I love now John Montague, Larkin, Evan Boland. These are people I would have never, ever known about if I hadn't have went back to education.
And Liz?
I'm near enough to the same with these, with the poetry and everything else. And I learned that I could do it. That was my thing.
Do you all read a lot more now?
I would.
Yeah. I'd enjoy it more. Yeah. There's things on it, and you hear things, all the words that we've been learning and all the different things. You hear things on the radio, you say you connect. You're connecting more with life, I think.
I think that's absolutely huge, that sense of connection. Or you were saying you're watching the documentary on Evan Boland that you wouldn't have watched before.
And the poems that we were doing. And I was just fascinated watching her. And, you know, listening to her, and I was like, God, that's my poem. I have that in my course, like the three poems from Evan Boland.
And am I right in saying you all chose English as your subject?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. It's I mean, that opens the world to everything.
No doubt about that.
I was just thinking, I know I started off going off kilter about that programme, No Country for Women, the other night, because the thing that came into my head is that it's something that should be shown to all aspiring politicians. Anyone that's very, very young should be shown those two hours of television, and whatever, even what they've edited, they should put in. And aspiring politicians should be shown that. For that reason. So the reason I'm saying that is because I'm just wondering for yourself, Geraldine, do you think that maybe some of the teachers that are going to school now, like St. Pat's now, to be teachers, maybe should come down to Clare before they graduate and see how
we do it.
See how you do it, but listen to past pupils and see where children can get lost
in the system.
I agree with you, and you've talked a lot about literacy and people feeling in need, but there's an awful lot more to education. This whole sense of what Liz is saying, of being connected to the world and picking up things. I mean, adults have a wealth of life experience, that the younger people don't have. And in a way, they therefore learn differently. And I don't know if that's covered in St. Pat's, as to how people learn.
I shouldn't have mentioned St. Pat's. I'd be talking about all teaching colleges.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about that maybe some teachers, I'm not trying to malign anybody, but I'm just trying to figure out, because I remember talking to a correspondent who did lots of writing on school, and he just gave it up. He said he got so frustrated. And he went into another aspect of journalism, he said, because nothing had changed. Now, I don't know that to the extent. But I was just wondering if you got teachers down, that they wouldn't sort of take a class in, because some of them are as big as they were then, I'm sure, that when they walk in, that if there's a child a little bit behind others, that she wouldn't be forgotten about. Okay, we'll stick to the bright ones and see how it goes.
I think there's awareness of different ways of learning, and we don't all learn. I mean, I'm deaf, so I can't hear as well as I used to, so I would learn more visually. Or people learn by, Margaret was talking about writing out her fascinating stories, which I didn't know because I'm from the country, learning about Margaret living off O'Connell Street, that we learn in so many different ways, and I think that's the awareness we all need to have, and that we learn at different rates, and then if you're a teacher with 25, what do you do?
When a child gets its report card, it shouldn't say, and it sort of lacks interest. It should be explained. Okay, look, to the parent, listen, just because she's not that interested now doesn't mean that she won't be in a year's time. This is what I'm talking about. So Clare would be a good example to aspiring teachers. That's the point of trying
to make. I'd love to think so, yes. But the main thing is why people want to be... Education is such a big word, you know. Are you filling it? Are you filling people up with knowledge, or are you giving people the tools to find out their own? And I mean... the latter is really what we should be doing.
Okay. Do you have a happy school?
I love school. Yeah. And you know, I as in real life, I taught up in Cailleachta Dhuilg for many years as a real teacher. But Clare is much more. Clare is sociable.
Yeah, what would draw you to that? What drew you to Clare?
To Clare. I stayed at home minding children for quite a while. And then I volunteered to come back as a voluntary tutor because Clare couldn't function without people volunteering to come in and do one-to-one sessions. And then once they heard I had a teaching background, I was asked to take a bigger group. And then I liked it so much I stayed.
And the big question now is, because I was talking about teachers and aspiring teachers and all like that, now, which do you enjoy more, do you think?
Adults, there's no comparison. Because if adults don't like it, they don't come. There's no discipline problems, there's no pressure to produce, you know, certain grades or anything.
Yeah.
And I have just made so many friends in Clare. I mean, to me, that's what Clare is. It's a sociable, happy place where people enjoy coming.
Well, I was there for the presentations a couple of weeks ago, and I saw so many familiar faces, and the people that have been in years ago, they stick with it.
Yeah.
And they come and they encourage new people like yourselves, and I'm sure that you'll be doing it as well. Have you got any more ambitions now, either of you? I'll start with you, Deirdre.
Well, I'd like to come back and do another course with no homework. I haven't decided yet, but when the leaflet comes out, Rose is going to send out a leaflet to
us. I don't think there's such a thing, is there?
No, actually, there are. With a different hat on, I ran current affairs classes where there was no homework as such, but it was all discussion and input. But no actual,
which is great,
very different kind of class.
I don't know if they have debating societies in schools and colleges now. They were always great. I used to love all that.
This is more keeping people. You know, so much passes us by. This, and because it's 24/7 information now, we tend to switch off. But if we've discussed it and have an opinion on it, we will watch it and listen to it. So in that sense, it was very different from having to cover a particular curriculum for Leaving Cert.
And Margaret, yourself, any more ambitions?
I've done 2 years of the Leaving Cert, and I have to say they're two of the happiest years now that I've had. Like, I do have a lot of... I dance, and I do. My dancing twice a week is my life. And so I never thought I'd find anything else that would compare. I'd be so happy with. But the 2 years, I know it was an awful struggle. The homework, as Deirdre said, was a nightmare.
Okay.
But now I feel I wish Clare had been a 3-year course. I would have had another year with the girls and Geraldine if it had been 3 years. I feel that after doing the Leaving Cert, whatever comes in August, I've achieved something that I never thought I would achieve. And I will go back to Clare, and there's other courses. There's one of Irish Literature and Language, I think.
That's what we're going for. There's a few of us going to try and do that one.
Well, I mean, I haven't got time now, but I was going to ask some of you to read, because a lot of you have written stuff, and I heard some of it at the presentations on the night, and they were pretty astounding. I don't know if Clare does... dramatic writing or teach people how
to... Well, we produce a booklet of people, of students' writings every other year, and then at the award session you were at, people do read out their work. I know we have some here, but you haven't time, have you?
You know, but just thinking about it though, is this just off the cuff that they write, or are they taught the context on
There's so many different classes, not just the exam class. There's creative writing classes within the spelling classes, within the computer classes. People write.
But there you go, girls, there's another course, you know,
creative writing.
And you've got a small piece they can read.
Try to read a bit of it.
Probably has a smaller one. Mine tend to go on as I tell story after story. I don't know which one.
Margaret for me has been fascinating because it's a different world.
I'll tell you what, Margaret. If we were on television, I'd have got you to dance instead.
Oh, would you? I haven't got my boots with me. I do line dancing.
Okay.
So you want me to read it?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a composing like that would have been in the Leaving Cert and the mocks, and it was just the little things in life. So happiness for me is having my family and friends around me. It's the little things I sometimes take for granted, like having my health, looking at the deep blue sea when I go for a walk, or listening to the birds sing, and having time to play with my grandchildren. The thing that truly makes me happy is my love of music and dancing. dancing twice a week, I get a great buzz. It helps lift my spirit. I meet my friends and we can chat and dance the night away. I find learning a new dance a challenge, but the music and the mood of everyone in the dance class is uplifting. To be able to do something that is like a passion for me. Whatever is going on in our lives, it is left at the door when for a few hours. We leave our troubles behind and there's happiness all around with my friends and we have the feel of joy. I find great happiness in the friends that I have. We go on holidays once a year, which I look forward to. I have friends that I meet once a week for lunch. We chat and we share our troubles if we have any. And we are there for each other to talk about whatever is going on in our lives. I am so happy that I went back to adult education. It was something that I always wanted to do. I left school at 30, and although I had a job that I loved, I always wanted to learn more. My first day going back was hard. I could feel the sweat on my brow as I walked through the door of the classroom, in spite of my spellings. Spellings was always a nightmare for me, but I took the plunge and I had a great 2 years of computers and spellings. I liked it so much, I was so happy that I had took up the challenge. Now, 2 years on, I'm going to do my Leaving Cert. I'm in the Leaving Cert class. I have met a new group of friends. We all help each other and I love to have the break. We love to have our breaks and chat to each other. The whole experience of returning to education has brought me great happiness and my family really support me. I have a great family. I find they make me happy. My husband, 45 years, my children and my lovely grandchildren. I sometimes find life hard running around after them, but I feel blessed that they are all healthy and around me, and that truly makes me happy.
Okay, I'll have to stop you there anyway.
There's
that's
a voice
just
on,
the
I have a lot. Great, great. Sorry.
There's a novel there, Margaret. There's a novel.
So I'm told my friends and family tell me
and you see what our friends did.
Well, I have to finish it up. I just want to thank you all. So thank you very much, Geraldine, Margaret, Deirdre, and Liz. It's really been a great pleasure. Great 45 minutes of chat with you.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you very much.
And good luck with everyone down the club.
Oh, thank you.